Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Next spring, I want my lawn to be the best lawn on the block.
I told Anthony if he wants the best lawn, he's going to have to start preparing this fall with Scott's Turf Builder.
Ace is the place that's two seasons ahead. Spoiler alert, the lawn ends up looking great.
Now through Labor Day, get up to $5 in instant savings on select Scott's lawn food. Ace Rewards members save instantly in store. Selection varies by region. Store stock only. See participating stores for details.
Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to Pure Hope with your host, Reverend Janice Hope Gorman. Hope is the name the angels gave Reverend Gorman. Help open planetary eyes. And that's what we hope to do on Pure Hope. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, everybody. Yes, thank you. Thank you for joining us all on the Pure Hope Show. This is Reverend Janice Gorman, and I am so delighted to have all of you come and join us for this special edition that we are having here on the program tonight. As always, what I say to people, and you hear reading it all over the place, that we do stand at the precipice of great change. You cannot turn a page on any magazine or put the television on without seeing that we are in a great, great, enormous upheaval, which is also a great blessing in some ways and great change. And we cannot ignore the call. Some of us are hearing the call to shine and bring forth information. And so I welcome you to our program tonight, where we will be talking to Gina Kambalta Miranda, who is a Mayan timekeeper, and we'll be talking about what that particularly means. Gina's family origins were the Mayans in Guatemala. She was 11 years old. That's what I find fascinating, because I received a calling when I was 11 years old, but she was also 11 years old when she began training with a shaman who identified her destiny in the connection with the Mayan calendar. I consider her, after I talk a little bit more about who she is, I consider her an incredible, resilient woman, because as an adult, she has witnessed the horrors of the war in Nicaragua, where the Red Cross and other organizations worked. And due to what we would call an unavoidable family tie to her father and to social activities and volunteering, she was imprisoned in Honduras. And while in that prison, she was repeatedly tortured and raped. And through grace, through the mighty evidence of the energy of grace, managed to escape. Her destiny, which is very fortunate for us, eventually brought her to Minnesota. And now her destiny brings her to our program tonight, right here on the Pure Hope Show. And it is our collective destiny, for those of you who are listening to this, to be coming together to listen to Gina. So I believe it is a contract, it is a spiritual contract of our destiny, that we are back together listening to this information that I believe is so incredibly important. So after you listen to our program tonight, know that the stars have brought us all together, and perhaps you may want to pass this program on to others. In fact, I would encourage you to pass this program on to others. Put it on your Facebook, use your media. If you're having coffee, tell them about this program. Tell anyone who is in this like-minded energy, and here's this call that we cannot ignore. So as we prepared for our program, I want you to know that much prayer, much ritual or ceremony, and certainly great intentions have been placed within the time that we are going to be sharing with you tonight. Directing the energy towards enlightenment or towards awakening helps us all with this change that we are currently in. And most of us know that we live in a world where 4% of the world, that's the world you can see, that's the world that is built, that's the world that we can measure, and that's the world that we can organize. 4% of the world is this. Then there's that other 96% of the world that we don't see. But that determines everything. So welcome to your new reality as we welcome to the timekeeper and to this energy that we are going to be experiencing tonight. So let us now begin that journey of the 4% world, because we are going to be listening, but also know that you are going to have a dance with this invisible energy, the 96%. And this subtle energy always is interacting with us, either on a conscious level or on an unconscious level. The human mind, as we all know, is very capable of directing this subtle energy and commanding it to do what we want. So we welcome to the world, and we are welcoming now to the world of Gina Miranda, who will helping us tonight understand the Mayan calendar. So, Miss Gina, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Pure Hope Show tonight.
Thank you. It's, thank you for bringing me into the show to invite me to talk. And I hope that everybody can listen. Well, there are a lot of people can listen to it and see if they can find a connection to the spiritual world.
Yes, thank you, thank you. I've always been interested in the Mayan calendar. In fact, most people who have come to the Hope Interfaith Center has heard me talk about the Mayan calendar, although I am not an expert in any means, and I want to tell our listeners that I would consider Gina an expert on the Mayan calendar, which is a 5,000-year-old vehicle of predictions and spirituality. It is an ancient device filled with what we would call sacred codes, so hopefully we can talk a little bit about that, Gina.
Mm-hmm.
So tell our listeners how did you meet your teacher, and how did you first react when you were told about your destiny at the age 11?
This happened when I was growing up in Honduras, Central America. And my father was a full-blooded Mayan from the Atitlan region. And he was a rebel fighter against the army, since the army has been taking away the land from the Mayans. And he decided to join this fight, you know, and take weapons against it. And he was like a famous guerrilla fighter in those the 50s, late 50s. I got to see him only once when I was about 6 years old.
Wow.
And then eventually he got killed. And my mom married somebody else, and I live in Honduras, grew up there. And after he died, you know, my stepfather was abusing me when I was 11. And because of this situation, I took the decision to run away from home. I was living in the middle of the country, there in Tegucigalpa, which is the capital city.
Wow.
And I was 11, so I didn't know where to go. I just figured that I was going to escape from the house and just run to the ocean, because I seen, you know, I feel like, for some reason, I feel like the ocean was the place to go. So I kind of started that journey. It took me in a highway, starting like at 2 in the morning, and I finished up in the ocean, you know, in this beach, which I didn't know in that time. But later on, talking to my mom, I find out that it's the same beach where I was conceived. You know, I was.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't know that until my mom told me this about 10 years ago or 8 years ago. But I didn't know why I feel like I end up in that place. And when I got there, I felt so comfortable in that beach. And I waited there, and then I got hungry because I was 11, you know. So you didn't feel too good about these things, you know. And I was hungry. And I didn't know what to do, just waiting there by the beach, and it was looked beautiful and everything, but I was getting desperate about eating. And that's when the Mayan shaman walked by with his kids that were fishing in the ocean at night, and he came to me and told me, you gotta come with me. And then I said, I'm not going with you, you know, I'm just... And then he tried to tell me, you know, that they can provide me with food and a safe place to be. And he seemed to know things about me that I was kind of surprised about it. And then, you know, he took me up to live in the village in the jungle where I stayed with them. And eventually he confessed later on that he's been trying to find somebody to inherit the knowledge of the calendar. Wow. And in the visions, he was told that that the person that was chosen to do this job was going to be that night in that beach. And he told me that he was upset about my age, you know, because he figured they're going to send somebody that was older, that would understand these things better. And instead it was me, you know, so...
Wow.
So I lived with them for 3 years in the jungle, and, you know, I learned with them fishing, and every time that we went fishing, he would talk to me about the calendar. And to tell you the truth, I didn't care about that. I was coming from the city, you know, we were from the middle class family where, you know, we had all the, you know, other than the abuse, everything was fine in my house, you know, so... it was very hard for me to adapt to this new environment, living with them in the jungle and fishing. And on top of that, this old man that was trying to teach me this weird stuff that I didn't know what was about it, you know. But he kept talking to me for 3 years.
Mm.
And in those 3 years, you know, some of it stuck in my head, you know, because he keeps repeating it, you know, and I just keep thinking this old man is crazy, you know. He tried to teach me how to speak the Mayan language. I refuse, you know, because, you know, these people, they don't know how to read and write. I was already, you know, coming from 4th, 5th grade in school. So I consider myself like higher in knowledge than they did, you know, but they did know a lot of the stuff about nature and the spiritual world that I did not know. And that's how I got to get this knowledge, the beginning of it, the basis of it, you know. So after that, I kind of went back to the city and... went to live with my grandma and went back to school. And eventually I graduated and the university as a computer analyst. And got a job as a librarian and then as a computer programmer. Got a great job with the government. And I didn't look back to the stuff that the old man taught me. You know, I kind of tried to put it in the back of my mom's mind and said, this is something strange that happened to me in childhood. So I didn't work in this Mayan calendar when I was young, you know, after you explained here, that I tried to compensate for the services, the way they helped me. You know, I tried to work with the Red Cross and work with poor people and work with the Red Cross and all the weekends that I had, you know, from work. And I felt pretty good doing that. And I thought that's what I needed to do. You know, I didn't thought I needed to do no calendars or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, you know, I thought I had my life all set up. You know, I had a great job, a house, a car. Everything seemed to be set up for me to, for my future, until eventually, you know, the destiny caught up with me. You know, the secret police was following me around. I didn't know this, but since my connection with my father, in my activism and protesting against the need for more hospitals and stuff like that that I did when I was down there. Eventually, I got captured and put in a clandestine jail, and that's when all the torture happened, you know, and they want me to sign up confessions saying that I was working with the Russians or whatever, communist, and give names of other people that were involved in this thing. So, and that's where I kind of, one of the guards kind of let me out when nobody else was looking and told me to get out of the country. And that's where I end up in Minnesota, you know, because I had different relatives around the U.S., but only one relative knew about computers. My uncle here was, he had a small computer company, and I was working in computers, so I thought it was a good match, so that's how I ended up coming here about 35 years ago. And the working with the calendar started later on, like in 1987, 88. That is when I started to get these dreams with the old shaman.
Yeah, because you said that your teacher comes to you now in your dream time.
Yeah, that's when that started to happen. Around 1987, 88, he started to appear in my dreams, telling me that it was time for me to take my destiny. And he wouldn't let me sleep every night with his dream, this insistence, you know. So I didn't know what to do. I was still thinking about a lot of the native stuff. So I went to different reservations in Minnesota to try to find advice, to try to find a cure, like maybe a spiritual guide, and guide will do some sort of a ritual to get this old man out of my head, you know, because he won't let me sleep, you know. And so that's how I ended up in Pine Ridge. I went to Sisseton, South Dakota. I went to Red Lake. And all the spiritual guides told me that there was no way out, that I needed to do what the old man says, or otherwise bad things will happen. So that's how I started to work in the calendar in 1989, 1990. And it was very hard because, you know, since I didn't want to learn when I was 11, you know, it was very hard for me to piece it together. And so what I did is I went to Hamline University and I studied all the Mayan classes they had in archaeology to try to mash together what the science was saying with what the old shaman taught me, you know. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to do this, I'll try to base this into science because I love science. I'm very skeptical about most everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, I needed to get this scientific side. And I thought, you know, I got to merge it together. And in a way, you know, this is like the old Mayans did in the ancient times. They were not mystics. They were a combination of scientists with spirituality. That's what they were in the ancient times.
So exactly what is, and I don't know if you can really tell us exactly what is, but what is a Mayan timekeeper? Is it a person who studies the Mayan calendar, or they can read the Mayan calendar? What is a Mayan timekeeper?
See, in the ancient times, if you go to the, you know, thousands of years ago, there was a group of people that were the timekeepers, and they were experts in this, but they were also scientists. They were astronomers.
Okay.
So they were so they kind of mixed the spirituality with science. They measured the planets. They measured the planets in with that they compared with the calendar. So to make sure that the calendar was square up with the heavens, with the planets, and how that compared with the human lives, you know, in the rhythms of nature. You know, for them it was a study all the time. There was probably dozens of more people that were involved into the studying of the calendar. That was in the ancestral times, you know. Mm-hmm. They keep doing notations, they do math, they do science, they do observations. Their whole life was dedicated to study this, you know. But and nowadays, you know, if you go to, let's say, Guatemala or Mexico or places where there is timekeepers, it's a different kind of way of, they are kind of healers. They are kind of like medicine doctors, you know, they kind of know how to do healings. And that's exactly what the old shaman that taught me the calendar did it that way. You know, he was a healer. He knows about different herbs and how to cure people from different illnesses. But in the ancient times, that was separated. You know, the people that did the healing was a different kind of people, and the calendar people did some other stuff, you know, so...
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, if you go down there, the people that do the timekeeping, they keep the calendar, but that's not their main thing, you know. They
so
might
really
keep notations.
Uh-huh.
They might keep notations, and they try to connect with the spiritual world.
Okay. So they're
so
really...
So the difference is that I'm into the ancient, you know, the going back to what the timekeeper was really about, you know.
Okay.
And you gotta be you know forgiveness. Let's say in Guatemala and Mexico, I mean, they lacked education, they lacked the knowledge, they lacked the understanding of the planets and science. So how can they get into this if they don't have the other side? You know.
Right. So it talks about how the Mayan calendar does prophecies, or kind of is the key, or there's an encodement in that. At this time, because we're on this precipice of great change and all the political stuff that's happening and all the weather changes that's happening, what if you can share with our audience tonight just a little bit? We don't expect you to go into it a great deal, but can you share a little bit about what the Mayan calendar might be saying about this time right now upon the planet because of all this upheaval we're having?
See, the Maya counted the time in big cycles, you know. And one of those big cycles is the one that ended in the 2012, 2013, which Hollywood take it like it was the end of the world or whatever, but, you know, the Native American follow cycles in a circle. They don't have a linear way of thinking like the Europeans do. So it was just the end of one cycle, the beginning of the other one. But that was an important cycle because this is the time where it's marking that human beings are ready for a change. We got all what we need to go to the next stage in evolution. So we can change and become something else than when we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very hard with people attached to all ways of thinking. But that's what the calendar in reality is marking. And this at the beginning of the new era, what is happening, what this prediction was, is that a lot of the knowledge that was hidden, that was given before and got lost, is coming back again. But in order to get this knowledge, you gotta kind of be tuned in to the other side, tuned in to the universe, so you can get this knowledge. It's not gonna be just easy, like it just come to you and that's it, you know.
Right.
You have to kind of work at it and pay attention and understand what they are saying and understand how to communicate to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the way that the things are happening is just the collapse of humanity, the way that we know it, you know. we got to the tipping point where, you know, we either change or in reality will be the end of the human race, you know.
Right, right. Well, that sounds like good news that we're at the end of a cycle and the beginning of the birthing of a new one. So I've always said, you know, bring that forth. You know, I kind of enjoyed the collapsing of an old system so we can give birth to a new system. So I try to help people not to fear the differences and the changes that are taking place right now. Is that what you do also, is help people bypass that fear? Yeah.
See, yeah, what I do is when I teach the calendar is like a key, like a way how to understand how the forces of the universe work, you know.
Okay.
And the calendar gives you the key how to open this other side, how to connect, reconnect with the other side. So it gives you like a schedule of how these forces work, you know. It's like the Star Wars, they copy this from the Mayans, you know, the Force.
Right.
And it's real, you know. It's actually forces out there, spiritual forces, that work every day. Every day is different. Every day it has a different combination of frequencies. And then when you understand the calendar and you apply that to your own life, then you start opening your eyes to something new, something that you didn't know it was there. Or something that you knew it was there, but you didn't know exactly how to tune into this other side.
Right, right.
So,
well, when we talked at the very beginning, Gina, about the subtle energies, you know, the 96% or whatever that percentage is, who the heck really knows if it's 96%, but if we talk about those subtle energies that cannot be seen or measured, when you do your sacred ceremonies, or when any of us do our sacred ceremonies to help the planet at this time, is that what you call upon? Do you call upon these subtle energies that is in the universe right now?
Yeah, there is some following the ancestral way, how they did these things. There are certain days that are called to do certain ceremonies or certain callings or give thanks for different things. But every person has their own a specific combination of days, you know. To explain it, when I explain it, I try to explain it this way. When the mother is inside the womb, you know, and she's pregnant, the planet is going around the solar system. So the spiritual forces that are going to come into this baby cannot come into it until the umbilical cord is cut.
Hmm.
So because the spiritual field of the mother is like a, you know, like a defensive shield, they do not allow the intrusion of these forces. So when you cut the cord, then the baby is, you know, without defenses, and that's when it gets uploaded with these forces from whatever the planet is along the line and the orbit. So it gets uploaded with these energies, and I will be with them for the rest of their life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the calendar gives you like a guide that to check exactly what were the energies at the moment of birth. And these energies change every year. It's not like like the horoscope or anything like that. It's a more general thing. This one is very specific. It's like a more scientific, you know, like a combination repeats like every 52 years. So you got to know exactly the year in which the person was born and the day. So you understand what connection that person has to the other side. And then you do your petitions or your ceremonies in those days. You know, you got to match the number that was where they were given to you when you were born. In exactly those days, through your connection to the other side.
Yes, yeah, that's
and
that
also,
makes
also there is some ceremonies welcoming the new months. That's for everyone, you know, the welcoming the new Mayan months or the new energy that come to rule. But specifically for every person has a different combination of forces that they are depending on. And it's not only the two energies that belong to that person, but the energies that were from their parents. You know, they have a certain connection with that person because they are the ones that were the channel to bring that person into the world. So you diversify, and then you get a few energies. There is 20 energies in the universe by this philosophy. And usually most families are in relation with about 6 of them or 7. It depends. Different families have different number of energies that are connected with them.
So when people come to you, Gina, then do they give you, you know, their birth date and the year that they're born, and do you somehow help them understand how to work with that energy or that segue of those particular days or that particular month or time for them to connect with this subtle energy then?
Yes, that's what I, a lot of people send their dates and their emails sometimes. And like I tell them, you don't have to put any names or anything, just a date. And then, you know, I explain to them when they come to see me, what are those energies are better for, you know, some people are better for some other things than other things, you know.
Right.
In the Maya in the ancient times, when they were really doing well, they were kind of they were into the system so much that the ladies will time in their birth depending on the calendar. So it's like getting the advice from the timekeepers, you know. They can choose which kid they want to have, you know. They wanted a scientist, or they want a very spiritual person, or they wanted to be a warrior, or whatever they want to choose. They time it with their pregnancy, so he was born into those days.
Wow.
And that was very important in their days because people were into groups, you know. They were into different clans of people that did, like, pottery. Like, the whole family did that. You know, they were potters. So, you know, the families that were involved into this, they all wanted their kids to be born like potters, you know. So they tried to find all the energies that were more into that kind of work, in that line of work, you know. In the same way, the artists, you know, the theater people, the astronomers, the farmers, they all wanted to time it in with their energies. So that will help them to be part of to make the family united together into their stuff, you know.
So it sounds to
so
me like...
So when
it's...
people come,
It sounds to me like they did it very consciously and intentionally when they would procreate and bring forth the baby or that soul of that energy.
Was a very orderly society at some point, you know, and that's when they reached the highest point of their development. They try to not to have warriors because there is certain energies that are kind of difficult to control. And that's one thing that I teach people, you know, when they know their own energy, they understand, you know, why they feel the way they do, why they do stuff that then they repent about it. But because we are managed by these energies in a way. And the idea is that once you're conscious about what kind of energies are handling your life, then you can dominate these energies and only use it for your own purposes, you know, your own thing. To better yourself.
Wow.
But most people let themselves be driven by these forces in a way. You know, the forces are, some of them are unruly. And
Well, to me, it seems like this would be very helpful for many, many people to come to you or someone like you to understand their birth date and the energies that they bring forth. It kind of helps them with their destiny, and like you said, they could work with those forces. They could work with those months or those days that are kind of like a segue into that subtle energy field then.
Yeah. Yeah, they could, you know, the idea is that, in the way the Mayan, I know this is going to sound kind of pessimistic, but in the way the Mayan saw life, life was a preparation for death.
Huh. You know, yeah.
They thought it was like a training ground where you try to raise your spiritual awareness and to elevate yourself to a different level.
Correct.
So in the next lifetime, you will be born into a higher number or something.
Correct. Yeah. See, that's what I believe our incarnation is all about, is to raise our consciousness or raise our vibration to that highest level. I always felt that that was this incarnation for me, my purpose is not even the teaching that I'm doing, but to constantly work on my own personal level of consciousness and to, because I'm a massive meditator. I do lots and lots and lots of meditation. I love ritual. I love burning candles and incense and chanting, and somehow I do then can move into that subtle energy, and really I do it to try to raise my level of consciousness or awaken my level of consciousness as I prepare for death. That's exactly how I look at life myself.
Yeah, yeah. Some people think it's pessimistic to say that, you know, but
yes.
Since we live so many lifetimes, you know, supposedly we, in this Mayan ancient philosophy, you have been here a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
Or everybody has been here a whole bunch of times, you know, because we are aliens in a way, because we are spiritual beings. We
yes.
come from a different realm. We are invited into this material world. And once that transfer is done, you know, we cut off the connection to the other side. The connection is garbled.
Yes.
Because the different system of the spiritual and material worlds. And the idea is to reconnect with this and try to get the instructions that we needed, you know, the reasons why are we here. And
mm-hmm.
the only way, and the way of thinking was the calendar to give you a key, the how to achieve this, how where were the best days to reconnect, you know, and try to, in my case, you know, I have a conferences with dead people in certain days. You know, I go back and like the same way that I talk to the shaman.
Uh-huh.
Also, right. I can have a conference with my grandmother and my great-grandmother. And for some reason, it seems like there's mostly ladies there, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they try to explain things to me, you know, when they can. And I sometimes wake up and write down what I heard. And try to apply it, you know. The same with the shaman, with Hoshi. He came to me more like in 1997,
mm-hmm.
when he was more direct about understanding the calendar. I did not understand the calendar in the 90s. You know, I wrote it as it was supposed to be, but I didn't understand exactly how this works. This all happened like in 1997, 98. When they went into details, he went into details explaining things that I didn't know.
Hmm.
And that's what I teach people, because this stuff is not existent to any book written until now. And this is knowledge that is not mine. It's just being given to me so I can give it to the other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to ask you that difficult question that we talked about earlier, is that it does say that you're a spiritualist, and it certainly sounds like you work with that subtle energy, and that the feminine energy, that right now you are using the feminine energy, is used to bridge the two continents, and you begin your, and is that true, or, I mean, what does that mean?
See, she's, you probably read that in the other page that is called mayacron.com.
Correct.
And what she's alluding is to the, because I didn't wrote that, that's Musa is a friend that managed that blog, that .com.
Uh-huh.
I only managed the blog.
Okay.
But the idea was that she's referring to this book, The Mayan Factor.
Okay.
In Jose Arguelles, which is, says the coming of the continents, the joining of the continents.
Correct.
In there was a prophecy there that was given by Arguelles, and I came to fulfill that prophecy in a way.
Wow.
Joining the continents, the north and the south. This occurred in 2013, in October 2nd, I think it was the day when that prophecy kind of actually came true. I didn't want it to make it happen, but it kind of happened without me mm-hmm. wanting it to happen.
Yes, yeah.
So what I know is that in this awakening time, in this new way of things, is the women, the femininity and female part of the existence that is coming into play. You know, males have got all the run of all this society for too long.
Correct.
And they have advanced too much with that. So it's time for the other side to take over and see what the other side can do, you know.
Wow. Okay. Huh. I think maybe that's why your grandmothers, are the, you know, when we talk about the 13 indigenous grandmothers coming together from different continents, that we are seeing the divine feminine energy coming back and doing ceremony and understanding their powers and their abilities and helping that right now is connecting and bridging, so...
Yeah, it's interesting that you talk about that, because when I do my seminars, you know, and I do groups, you know, about 97% of the people that go are women.
Yeah.
You know, guys don't seem to be interested in this.
Yes.
So you can see that side. That doesn't mean that in this belief, you know, we are not either females or males. We are just spirits. You know, we have a... In the other realm, we don't have a specific sex, you know.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, the female bodies or seem to be more better conduit for the spiritual side, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we see here at the temple, too, at the Hope Interfaith Center, is that the majority, I think it's growing, more and more men are coming, but... Certainly, since I've been doing my work and continue to do my work, the majority of the people who do come are the women. And like you said, maybe the woman's body, or that we're more conduits because we give birth and we're ready to help give birth to a new reality here upon the planet. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely something in that area.
Are you able, and I always tell people you have the right to say no, are you able to take us just through either a mantra or a meditation or anything to help the listeners of whom are listening tonight and who will be listening to this program? Do you have any meditations that you can help us kind of move into that world of subtle energies at all?
Today, as in the Mayan calendar, and the one that the version that I follow, you know, because this is the version that was given to me by the Hoshi, There is different versions out there online, and they are not lined up. That's important to tell people, because you can just go on Google and try to find Mayan calendar. You're going to find different versions of the calendar. By different versions, what I mean is different energy states. They are off by 2 or 3 days. One goes behind, the other one in front. But today is the Ev, which is the day of the storm. And I can see it is starting to show it up there in some places. And usually it will be for people that have that energy. You know, but the way to do it is that I tell people is when they are in a place, you know, they got to look around and open all their senses, you know, their ears, their all the senses, you know, to see what kind of messages they can get from nature or from the spiritual world. You probably know a lot about this because you meditate a lot, but
correct.
It's when you let go of all the material things, you know, that are bothering your life, and you start focusing into other things around you, you know, the sound of the rain outside, the wind, you know, even the sound of a clock in the distance. There is things that are not seen by us when we don't pay attention. Sometimes even when you go deep enough into this, you can even feel your own body working. You know, you can hear your heartbeat. You can hear your own body functions moving around, you know. And this is part of what I teach about meditating and trying to connect with the other side. And that's what something that the old shaman used to teach me, you know, about to open all my senses, you know. Sometimes you don't get it, but sometimes even a headache, sometimes even a little pain, a little twitch in the arm, something could be a signal from the other side.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes sense to kind of get, you know, like for me, the indwelling spirit within, and just to kind of get away from the have-tos and the shoulds and all of that stuff. It's just, and that's why I meditate so much, is just to kind of get away from the 4% of the world that can be measured and organized and calculated, and to go into that 96% of the world that is in that subtle energy. And when I connect to that, I am connected to what I call this cosmic intelligence that, and I loved it that you said that you can connect with your grandmothers and the women in your life and your mother who comes forth to teach you during that time and have a conversation with them.
Yes, yes, we do have. Like I said, all of them are ladies.
Yes. Interesting.
And they try to explain things to me. Sometimes I understand it, sometimes I don't. You know, with the shaman, with Hoshi, he sometimes will tell me stuff and I have to wake up and write it down because, you know, there was a little complicated things about the calendar or something. And then I, when I wake up, I read what I wrote down and I apply it and I say, oh my God, he was right, you know. Because I like to see things happen, that they really square up and they do add up, you know, once you put into practice.
Wow. Well, it also stated on your website, and maybe you didn't put that there, but I thought it was quite interesting that you believe that Minnesota has, if I read it right, galactic portals. And because of these portals, that you believe that Minnesota has a very high vibration. What do you have to say about that, since you're in Minnesota and I'm in Minnesota? And so what do you think about the vibration of Minnesota?
I tell you, you know, when I first came to Minnesota, I didn't come here because of the vibration or because anything that I was. I came here because the relatives, they were here. You know, in my situation, I'm running out from the situation down there. But, you know, throughout the years working in this calendar, in these things, I started to understand some things that I didn't get before. You know, part of it is that the one that made my name famous or gave me fame and was this guy Jose Arguelles. He wrote The Mayan Factor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And,
read it.
He was the one that kind of put me up on the map. You know, when I first opened that blog was to teach 9 people in Honduras.
Wow.
They wanted to learn the calendar. That was
uh-huh.
the purpose of that blog. And then all of a sudden, this thing has gone global. And now I got, you know, like 180,000 people there. And Honduras was blowing off the map. You know, mostly they are from Mexico and the U.S. and even Russia, you know, so...
Wow.
But when I saw that, you know, and then I didn't understood why, how this happened. And then when I go investigate what happened is people saw my name there and then they went into these predictions that Arguelles have given in this book, The Mayan Factor. And he mentioned my name as the sage that was going to come to bring the knowledge of the calendar. He wrote this in 1986, 87. I never read the book until later. When people start telling me about it, and my name was there. So when I saw that, you know, and I said, wow, that's amazing, you know, that this guy mentioned my name. And not only that, he talks about a lot of personal things in my life, you know, that he don't say it directly, but I can, when I see it, it was amazing to see this. And then I find out that... you know, Jose Arguelles, as a Hispanic, probably was born in New York, I thought, you know, but I find out that he was born in Minnesota.
Huh.
So that kind of, I was amazed about that, you know. I was brought to Minnesota, and this guy was born in Minnesota, in Rochester.
Huh.
So then I start thinking there must be something important about this location here.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was born here and I was brought here, and his life is kind of similar in a way. You know, he's got a position in a library. I did get a position in a library, and not only that, we share exactly the same Mayan energies in the calendar.
Oh, interesting. Hmm.
So when I see all this synchronicity with his life, you know, I start thinking there is something important about Minnesota. You know, and then when I went to meetings and I went to gatherings, you know, and I told people that I feel that, then I got a lady one time from Colorado. They got upset, you know, and told me, you know, I don't think Minnesota is very special. I think Colorado is better.
Interesting.
You have proof of this, you know? You have any proof
mm-hmm.
of what you're saying? And I said, well, the only thing I know is that Wayes was born here and. And I came here, and, you know, and then she said, well, that's not proof enough. So, you know, I kind of went into meditation by the pyramid that we built here and tried to find guidance about what to tell people about it, you know, how to explain to them that this place seemed to be special at this moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a dream that clarified this. It's probably a bit too long to explain. Tell the whole dream, but the sequence of the dream. But the idea is that the planet was constructed already in a certain way, and there is a certain veins of energy that are already under the geography. And these channels of energy are variable. Sometimes they get a peak when they got a lot of energy. Sometimes they go lower, and there's high and lower points throughout history. They have some high and lows, you know. And right now, what I understand is Minnesota is in the high point. It's the highest point of connection, probably in the world, to the other side. That doesn't mean there is a lot of other important areas in the planet. But the way they explained, the dream was kind of very cryptic, you know, but when I went in the map to look at it, what they tried to show me in the dream, I find out something amazing. You know, in the Mayan philosophy, we have some holy numbers, 1, 4, 9, 13, 18, and those numbers that are the same, you know, 1, 4, 9, etc. You know, so I find out that here in Minnesota we got the longitude 94, which if you add it up, it's a 9 and a 4, and it's 13, you know.
Wow.
And if you follow it in the map from Minnesota, if you go down following that line, it'll get you to where this philosophy of the Maya started, you know, in the Gulf of Mexico.
Hmm.
So you can see that connection there. They are all
right.
Lined up in the same porthole, so the same place where this knowledge comes from the other side. And then Minnesota, you get the crossings of the latitude. The latitude in the cities is 45, which the very center of it is in cloud. But, you know, 45 is 9. And then you got 45 and 49. So they're giving you like a crossing point there. I know that some people say, well, but these lines were put there by white people, they tell me. But, you know, this was said there by scientists, you know, like 200 years ago. And they did a convention and they did it, used science for these numbers, you know. So, you know, that's how they got these numbers, and there is a reason for it. It's like destiny or something moved them to put those numbers where they did. And I think there is a very strong porthole here in this area.
Yes, I know that I've almost been around the world, and it's so interesting because one of my favorite places in the whole wide world is right here in Minnesota, and it's up by Lake Superior. And I've always felt the energy, the kind of the pristine, untouched. And I've always felt that we've had strong portals in that area, and even perhaps under Lake Superior in that area. So I, like you, I do believe that there's something here. But that is amazing when you take a look at the numbers.
If you have a map and you look the opposite side of the planet, following the same 94, there's two 94, one 94 west and 94 east.
And then
you go to the east side, you'll find that it falls on top of Tibet.
Wow.
So see, you can see the connection there.
Yes, there is a connection. Yes.
And you know, all the time think Hawaii and Minnesota, they have these freeways, 90 and 94. You know, why they chose those two numbers?
Yes. Well, that makes sense to me, Gina. I mean, it really does. It makes sense to me.
And then I saw when I got given that information and then I look at the map, I was amazed. And I say there has to be some sort of physical thing that people can see that this place is holy. It's very highly spiritual. And what we have here is the river. The river is like a straight line. They go, well, not straight, but it goes between, if you follow it in the map, it goes between 94 and 90, 94 and 90, until it hit the Gulf of Mexico in 90. You know, so you can see it goes into that passage, those two numbers,
correct.
You know.
Yes.
So that means there is something very amazing underground, very deep underground, that was laid down there millions of years ago, probably a billion years ago.
Wow.
And these lines are around the planet in different places, but they all have their highs and downs. And I think Minnesota has the high right now.
Wow. Well, I think you just made everybody's day who lives in Minnesota. Basically, because sometimes when I've traveled around the world, they'll say, well, we're in the United States where you live. And when I say Minnesota, they usually go, oh, my gosh, that's where it gets really, 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 really cold. And I went, yep, that's where it gets really, 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 really cold. And I think you just made everybody's day in Minnesota who's been born, lived here. And so I thank you for that. I believe that Minnesota is a great place to live. So,
Yeah, I think there is strong portholes in here in different areas.
Mm-hmm. Well, could you tell our audience, anyone who will be listening to this, what kind of classes or groups or sessions do you offer, Gina, for people who contact you? I know that you work with their birth date, but are there any other things that you do or provide for people if they want to get in contact with you?
Well, I can give them the explanation of the calendar if they want a historical context or they want to understand the calendars. That's what I do, you know, and reconnect to the other side in a way, find themselves in a way.
Yes, yeah, sounds like it.
And they can be groups, they can be individual, they can be, and another thing important to say is that I do not charge. So I don't do this because of money. When people come over, you know, and they say, well, how much would this take? And I said, if you don't, you don't have to give anything. People give donations, it is up to them. Some people come and see me and they leave me a sack of potatoes, you know.
Wow.
That's
well,
fine, you know. I my job, I came to this world just to bring this knowledge.
Wow.
And that's what the old Hochi shaman said, and that's what I have to do.
Mhm. Well, you
so
definitely
no excuse
are.
That, oh my God, we gotta get some money to go there. You don't have to pay, you know.
Right. Right. Well, I know that you had mentioned that you're coming to the Women in Spirituality Conference in October here at Minnesota State University in October. So I want to encourage all of our listeners to come and see Gina during that time as well. And maybe as we continue to connect, Gina, maybe I can have you come to the center and do a class or do a talk. I know that people would be very much interested in coming and meeting you and talking to you about the Mayan calendar. Because the Mayan calendar is, it's interesting because when I was looking at the Mayan calendar, they were talking about how many people think that the Aztec calendar is really the Mayan calendar, but it is not. They're two different calendars. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. The Aztecs is a very young culture. By the time that the Spanish came, the Aztecs have been there for 200 years.
Okay.
So they have copied the Mayan calendar and did their own views of it. They changed some of the names, but they didn't understand it as the Maya did. See, the Maya were working in it for 5,000 years before that, so.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like when you compare like the Greek with the Romans. You know, the Romans are a big empire. And they copy all the stuff from the Greeks.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But maybe they didn't understand things as well as the Greek did, you know.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Well, if our listeners, and I'm sure that many of them do, if they want to connect with you, Gina, where would they get that accurate information? Or do you have a number that they could connect with you?
Yeah, my phone number is 612-437-1373.
73, okay.
And the email is mayacron, M-A-Y-A-C-R-O-N, number 9, at yahoo.com.
Okay. Okay. I will make sure that that is on our website as well. And I'm going to just repeat the telephone number for anyone who wants to get a hold of Gina, 612-437-1373. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Okay. Is there any last words that let our listeners know about this special, special time upon the planet?
This period that we are into right now is the Akbal. It's the energy that is dominating right now.
Mm-hmm.
Agbao was referred to like the ocean or the sea, but also was referred like the stingray. And for the Maya, the stingray was the messenger from the other side. The reason why they use the stingray as a messenger was because maybe a lot of people do not know this, but since I live with them out there fishing, the stingrays only come out at night. They don't really come to hang around during the day. They prefer to be coming only at night, so they thought that they were like messengers from the other side. You know, so that's why they identify this energy with the stingray.
Wow. Interesting. And people, I suppose, should pay very, very close attention to their dream time, too.
Oh yeah, yes, but that's if you tune it with a calendar, it will give you better insight. You know, because you have to pay attention to the days that are your energies.
Okay.
Usually, out of these 20 energies of the universe, there will be like some that are from your family, and some that are against you. And it's not that they are evil or anything like that. It's just that the whole universe is created with this, you know, negative and positive balances, you know. So some energies are against you.
Okay.
They are going to make things difficult for you.
Hmm.
So, and then you pay attention to the energies that are in your favor. And they are the ones that are going to give you a lot of insight, a lot of stuff, you know. They're going to advise you about the future or things that they want you to do or try to reconnect about the mission that you have here, you know.
Well, I think I need to get connected with you, Miss Gina, and have my... I want to know those days that I work well with. And I would encourage all of our listeners to... perhaps go deep within your heart to connect with the truth of who you are and to find your destiny and to work with these energies that are in the planet right now, that perhaps you will be drawn to Gina as well, as she can help you with those days. So
I'll tell you something. If you believe in science, if you want proof, I can give you proof of how this works, you know. I mean, real proof, you know. We can see people's life in the calendar, tell you what, where you are in the river of time, you know, and where you're going and where you've been before, and, you know, all that is given by the calendar.
Wow. And so all they need to do is then to give you their date of birth and their year?
Yes.
Okay. As does time, you know, when other people do charts, lots of times the time of birth, does that make a difference? Or
it does sometimes if you're born kind of almost at the end of the day. It could be that they could be from the next day energy. The reason for this is because it's very hard to match the Western calendar with the Mayan calendar.
Right. Right.
Because the Mayan calendar, the Western calendar is not, some years it's got 360 days, some years it's 365. So it doesn't match with the Mayan calendar. They have 365 every time.
Wow.
So that's why we got to look at some of the timings for birth.
Yes. Well, I have found this to be fascinating, so I certainly want to thank you, Gina, for joining us tonight on our program. I know that the Mayan calendar is a complex instrument, so I am thankful that we have experts in the world like you, and thank you for saying yes to your destiny so you can help us with our destiny.
Thank you much.
Yes, I really do. I thank you from my heart to yours. And I know that the women who are coming to you during conference time love you very much. And your dear, sweet teacher who comes to you in your dream time, thank you. And the Mayan culture thanks you for doing your work. So I thank you very much for joining me tonight. And for all of my listeners, I also thank you. I could not nor would not have a show if you didn't listen. And if, once again, you found this to be fascinating, like I have found it to be fascinating, please pass it on. Put it on your Facebooks. Use your social media for something good. Use your social media to bring light to the world. And this is one way that you can bring light to the world, is let people know about Gina and this program. I welcome you all to join me next month, where we are going to have another woman from the amazing state of Minnesota, Echo Bodine. And Echo was born with psychic abilities and gifts of healing at the age of 17. That's when she began to understand her abilities. And she has many: clairvoyancy, which is seeing, and clairaudience, which is hearing, and clairsentience, which is sensing, and clairgustance, which is smell. She has been on many programs. She has appeared on national television, Sally, Jesse, Raphael. She's been on a program with James Von Prague, on NBC's Today Show, and A&E, and Encounters. So please join us next week, next month, live. This will be on Monday, September 26th at 7 p.m. So until we meet again, once again, Gina, thank you so much for joining me. I so appreciate you. I really do. And
Thank you much. I appreciate the opportunity, Hope. Thank you much.
Yes, yes. And to all of my friends who listen to the Pure Hope Show from near and far and from different countries, I thank you. I thank you for consistently joining me. Namaste, namaste, namaste.
Thank you for tuning in to Pure Hope by Reverend Janice Hope Gorman. And until next time, remember that true greatness consists in being great in the little things. Be kind, be gentle, be loving, be true.
Should I hang the phone?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Okay. Look out in the street there. You know what you don't see? My car. Because I had to sell it to pay the lawyer I hired when I got busted for drunk driving. Know what else you don't see? My girlfriend, who decided that a guy with no car and no license and no money was no fun. And hey, you know what else you don't see? You don't see me leaving for work in the morning, because I missed so much time with court and everything that I got fired.
Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Imagine more than a new career. Imagine a college that gets you there by offering the best of both worlds. A great education and less tuition. That's exactly what Rasmussen College delivers. Because now, with Flex Choice, you can save thousands on degrees that span more than 40 programs. Earn a relevant degree that's worth the investment with Flex Choice at Rasmussen College. Own your future. Get started today at rasmussen.edu.